Alanis Morissette, Joan Osborne, and Prince, the one and only. All three recorded separately a song I think should be considered a great hymn of the church. It asks the question, what if God was one of us? Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. If we listen to that question with gospel ears, we realize that Jesus said, God is one of us. That God comes to us in the poor, the prisoner, the sick, and the stranger. And that we are, all of us, strangers on the bus of this world, just trying to make our way home. Radical Christian welcome. It is the third of five covenant practices we're exploring these days in our aim to be a faithful and vibrant congregation. Christian welcome is something I have found this congregation to do quite well. But sometimes the gospel can even lead us beyond where we are. The word radical may scare some of you. It has come to mean extreme, far out. But it actually means deep down, literally to the root. So instead of setting rules about who we should welcome, perhaps we would be better served if we got to the biblical root of why we are called to welcome. The reasons are as simple as they are beautiful. Our scripture readings this morning tell us we're called to extend welcome to every person because every person is made in the image of God. And because every person is lonely and broken, in need of friendship and love. And because in every person, we meet Christ. The biblical word for welcome is hospitality. In Vineville Americanese, we translate it coffee and confections. In Scripture, it literally means love of the stranger. We wisely teach our children to be leery of strangers in order to protect them. But as we grow older, we need to be taught that extending hospitality to the stranger lies at the very heart of biblical faith. By my count, the Bible explicitly calls us to welcome the stranger in at least 14 different places. However, God's people have often created fluffy layers of rationale and dangerous layers of untruth as to why we should not love the stranger. Most of those layers formed out of fear. While the Bible speaks of a love that casts out fear, many of us live with a fear that chokes out love. It is a fear of the other, a suspicion of strangers, outsiders, those we deem to be different. This fear of the other expresses itself in varying degrees of prejudice. Prejudice we often don't even know we have until we truly and prayerfully hear the biblical call to radical welcome. The practice of radical welcome is an act of spiritual formation where we learn to love the stranger and the guest as we love Christ because Christ is found in the stranger and the guest. Radical welcome can be inconvenient. It'll refuse to let you think only of yourself. And there will likely be some cost. It may be the simple cost of giving up your seat in worship, or waking early to pick up someone who cannot drive, or maybe just listening to the story of another. It could also be the greater cost of taking an unpopular political stand, or beginning a whole new ministry, or opening your wallet to meet human need, like the Good Samaritan who took the needy stranger to a place where he could get help and then paid the tab. As the body of Christ, we are here not to be served, but to put the needs of the guest and stranger above our own, to invite the guest and the stranger to a place of connection, acceptance, and home. We live in a world of profound homelessness. Those literally without a place to live, and those whose homelessness resides within. Those who wander around the world as if it were a wasteland, void of meaning and connection. A church of radical welcome offers to all who wander an invitation home in the name of Christ. Because that's what God has given to us. Since the days of Moses, God's people have been told to welcome the stranger because we were strangers in the land of Egypt and God led us home. So as God's people, we're called to offer the world a home in the name of God's love. Albert Hamrick was a man in a former church of mine who for 18 years gave out suckers to every child he saw on Sunday morning. But don't be fooled into thinking it was just a piece of candy he was giving. He was handing out gospel kindness that many children will forever associate with church and Jesus. Beginning in small ways like that, a culture of radical welcome must enter the lifeblood of every vibrant biblical congregation. In planning every ministry event, we must consider how to best welcome the guest and make room for the stranger. It's been said that there is a big loneliness at the center of every person, a loneliness meant to lead us to God and to one another. For deep down, we all yearn for a hand that will reach out for ours. We all need to know and be known by someone else. We all need to know that we're not alone. And we all want to know that when we face life's difficulties, we will be surrounded by a community of grace, people who will care for us. A congregation of radical welcome seeks to be such a place. Patty Griffin sings, "I'm gonna find me a man, love him so well, love him so strong, love him so slow. We're gonna go way beyond the walls of the fortress and we won't be afraid, we won't be afraid. Though the darkness may come our way, we won't be afraid to be alive anymore. For we'll grow kindness in our hearts for all the strangers among us till there are no strangers anymore." Yet another appropriate hymn of the church's vocation. Our love for one another, seeping through the walls of our sacred fortress, our beloved sanctuary, our close-knit Sunday school class, into the lives of strangers and guests, searching for home, searching for love. Without prejudice and without fear, our love for the stranger is an invitation for all to become friends of God and friends of God's friends till there are no strangers anymore. The rule of Saint Benedict, written in the 4th century, still guides monasteries around the world. Benedictine monasteries do not require a visitor to understand their belief systems or conform to their cultural norms in order to be welcomed. Instead, all persons are received as they are and invited into a place where acceptance and compassion generate the desire for God. Radical Welcome says to every guest and stranger, "We welcome you to this place to share life with us." The Bible says, "Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." The writer of Hebrews adds, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unaware." The rule of Benedict says that all guests who present themselves at the door are to be welcomed as we would welcome Christ. The Christ who said, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." "For just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." If we really believe Jesus, it will radically change our behavior towards strangers. And if people really want to know what we think of Jesus, they don't need to listen to our songs, our prayers, our sermons, or our language. They only need to watch how we treat strangers and guests. The gospel calls us to treat every person we meet as if they are Christ. The church's message to the stranger is, "Come right in and disturb our lives, for you are the Christ to us today." There's a word for this I learned several years ago from a writer friend of mine, Robert Benson. It is the word namaste. To greet one another with namaste is to say, "The living God who lives in me bows in reverence before the living God who lives in you." It is an acknowledgement that every man, woman, and child who comes our way bears to us the presence of God, because every person has been created in the image of God. No exceptions. Benson remembers his father saying that when we get to heaven and see Jesus, our first thought is not going to be that we've never seen him before. Instead, we will grin and exclaim, "It's you! It's you! I've seen you everywhere!" Jesus told us that he can be seen in every stranger, in every hungry face, in the chains of every prisoner, at the bed of every sick soul. And that awareness changes the nature of every human contact. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels how at almost every turn the disciples and the Pharisees seem ready to draw boundaries and distinctions that would keep certain people at a distance. And how in every instance, Jesus challenges those prejudices by overstepping the boundaries to invite people in. The practice of radical welcome calls us to look for God lurking in every single person we see. And it allows us to see people as Jesus sees them, and to see Jesus in the people God brings before us. Radical welcome refuses to toss aside, ostracize, demonize, or dehumanize anyone or any group. You can't ignore people when you realize that God is looking out their eyes at you. And if we do ignore them, Jesus said, "You ignore me." We are called to receive every person as if we're receiving Christ Himself. And unless we allow God's Spirit to radically open our lives to strangers and practice radical welcome among us, our world will only grow more frightening, more hostile, more isolated, more lonely, and more cruel. So may we strive to shape a life and a church with walls down, arms out, a community of grace that says to others, "Welcome." And may we join in the ancient benediction of sending forth that says, "We go in peace to love and serve the Lord and to live our lives so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends." Amen. If you are this day in search of the love of God, the welcoming arms of Christ are open for you this day in grace, in forgiveness, and in a purpose for living. If you're in search of a community of faith to walk in the way of Jesus with, the arms of this church are open as well. As we stand together and sing our hymn of response, hymn 662. I don't know about you, but this is a new hymn to me. I hope you will pay very close attention to the profound and beautiful words that we're singing together. And as we do, I pray you will allow God's Spirit to open your heart and to respond as God's Spirit leads. Hymn 662, let us stand together and sing.